Okay. So, could you introduce yourself and tell me who you are and where you're from?
I'm Dolores Johnson. I am originally from Athens, Georgia, but I've been raised and lived here in West Virginia for the last 60-some years.
So you moved here when you were pretty young?
Quite young, yes.
Tell me a little bit about your family, your parents.
Well, my mother was a seamstress. My father worked with his last job was with the airport up here in Huntington, Tri-State Airport. They were hardworking people. They moved here from Georgia. Daddy worked at that time, this was back in the 40s, before he went to service, really. He served in World War II, but he was working for 7-Up Bottling Company, and they transferred him to Cincinnati. And we lived there for a couple of years or so, and then they transferred him here because there was a bottling company over there in Ohio somewhere. Pop. We called it pop.
Oh, yeah.
Soda pop.
That's what I
call it. Yeah.
And your mother, what kind of seamstress work did she do?
She sewed for us and sewed for people in the neighborhood and community. And she was just a wonderful. She taught herself to sew and became quite good at it. Oh. She loved it.
Someday. Work on my sewing skills. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your career path and then how you got into quilting and that community?
Well, my professional career path was as a teacher, and I started out, I had a degree, my undergraduate degree was in French and Spanish. I was going to go to the UN, be an interpreter, but then I fell in love. And got married and ended up staying here. But I studied languages, and I did my master's degree in English and taught that for something like 20 years over at Huntington High School here. Taught at Oley Junior High School for a year, then went to Huntington High School. And then once I went to Marshall, I decided to go on and get my PhD because they wanted everybody who was teaching there to have that. So I started that program and went into languages and studied sociolinguistics and linguistics and, you know, those things, and loved it. I was at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. That's where I got my degree. When the closer I got to retirement, the more I started thinking about, well, what are you going to do? What do you want to do with your time then? And had no idea, but I had gone to a quilt show, saw some quilts that were being done today that were just marvelous. And I had a friend that I grew up with who was out in California who was a quilter. And she was here, and her cousin, both of them were here, and they had a show out at the museum. Both of them were quilters, and it was just really interesting stuff. So I thought, gee, I'd like to learn how to quilt. And my girlfriend, Sandra Clements, said, me too. Why don't we get us a group together? Mm-hmm. And her mother said, oh, there's nothing to it. You just cut up this fabric and sew it back together. And we thought, well, we can do that. So we did. We asked a few people if they were interested and ended up with 20-some people showed up and said they wanted to learn to quilt too. So that's how we got into that. Mm-hmm. And it becomes obsessive. You know, you start something and you become obsessed with it. And that's about what happened to us.
Mm-hmm. So who was teaching you how to?
At first, we didn't have a teacher. I think we had started for about a year or two, and then we decided we needed a teacher to, you know, because there was a lot to learn. And Sandra knew this lady at Marshall, Nancy McCormick, okay, who works with the HELP program, who was an excellent quilter, and she agreed to come and teach us. And so she came, and she's still with the group, too. She's been there ever since.
And was there a particular style you were doing?
We started out with the traditional quilting, with the blocks and, you know, and building the blocks into different quilts, we thought we were so good. I think we had been quilting for about, we had learned how to do two or three blocks. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew, I mean, because there are millions of blocks and they have all these traditional names and all this stuff. But we had learned to do maybe three or four blocks, and we decided we're going to do the Underground Railroad quilt. Well, it's a sampler, and a sampler will have different blocks in it, you know. And right. And we had, so we had to learn about, 15 or 16 blocks in order to make that. Mm-hmm. And it was very challenging. But we stuck with it, and the girls were all really proud of their projects, and they turned out really well.
You've developed your skills.
Well, the more I'm one of those people that when you get interested in anything you can read about it, anybody you can learn from about it, you seek them out. So I began reading a lot and subscribing to magazines and stuff, and I saw more and more of the modern art quilts. Mm-hmm. And fell in love with that, but had no idea, you know, how to tackle an art quilt, and didn't think I had any artistic ability. But there were things I wanted to say or with my quilting that I couldn't say with the traditional quilting. So I took a class online with Marilyn, can't think of her last name, Marilyn Belcher or something like that. And she had a class on doing portraits. And so I took that class. I was really pleased with how it turned out. And so then I started taking other classes. I took classes online. I went to Paducah and took some classes. I was in Ohio taking classes because they had a big quilt show there every year. And they would have workshops all during that. And so I learned to do lots of new techniques and things through the classes and the study like that, and the reading from the magazines and books and stuff.
Nice. And what was the name of that group that you started that's still going?
The Peacemakers, St. Peter Claver Peacemakers. Yeah.
And where do you all meet?
We meet once a week at St. Peter Claver Church in their parish hall. They have a huge hall in the back there, and they have those wonderful tables that don't scratch and mar, and which makes it really nice. And there are 18 in our group now.
So you all bring your projects?
We bring our projects. We work on them. We do a lot of donation. We give quilt. We give. We make pillowcases for the children at the hospital. We give to hospice. We make quilts for hospice. We give for Ronald McDonald, different organizations. We try to do three or four charity quilts each year, and then they're given to a group, and they use it for a fundraiser. They all have an auction and all that. So we do a lot of that, and then we go with our own little projects and do things. And we have a, once a year we have a show. We have an exhibit and invite the whole community in, and that's turned out to be really a popular thing and fun for us to do.
Mm-hmm. And when is that?
It's usually in May. Okay. May or June.
And is it at the parish?
Yeah, it's in the parish hall. Yeah, we thought about moving it because we need a larger venue, but it's so hard to get everything you need there. Where everything we need now is in the parish hall, and they store it for us. They store the big frames for us to hang them and all that stuff.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And so the charity quilts, those are collaborative projects?
Yeah, they're pretty collaborative. Each one of the people in the group makes a giveaway quilt for whatever major charity. For example, if this year we're doing hospice. Mm-hmm. So each one of us will make a lap quilt for a hospice patient. Then we make the group quilts. We have everyone makes a block for a particular group quilt that we're going to give away that'll be used for that will be given for them for a fundraiser.
Wow, that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was maybe something I saw.
Yeah.
Some kind of organization that was doing fundraising.
Right, right. Yeah, we usually do that. Mm-hmm. We do that every year. And there are, we divide ourselves up into four groups, and each group makes a quilt that will be donated. Mm-hmm. And that's the collaborative work on a quilt. And those are pretty much traditional quilts, although sometimes we branch out and do something a little different.
So do you want to talk about some of the quilts that you've made that you're proud of?
Well, the first quilt I made was the portrait of my son, and I'll show that one to you. And that was in 2009. That was when I took the class from, I can't think of her name, but that was the class online. It was the first time I'd ever taken a class online, although I taught classes online, but not, you know, they were not skill classes, you know, hands-on making stuff classes. I wondered how that would work. It worked beautifully. She had been doing this for a while, and it was a wonderful experience because she gave you lots of feedback back and forth all the time. And she had a system where you posted your work up there, mm-hmm. and then she could critique it. Other people in the class could see it and talk about, you know, give you feedback on it. So it was really good. I've always admired the work of Katie Pasquini Massapis. She does these huge quilts, and she's an artist.
Okay.
And she is able to include lots of transparency in her pieces, and her colors and all that are just great. And she had a workshop at Paducah, and it was a week-long workshop, and I went there and worked with her for that week, and it was a great experience. And what else? I don't know. This is my quilt this year that I did. It was a little my protest quilt. A lot of people. I posted it online with a group called Just Us Quilters, mm-hmm. and they put it up for one day and took it down. So I don't think it was fair. But I called it, upon listening to Jimi Hendrix play the Star Spangled Banner. And
So why do you think, I mean, it's not overtly political necessarily.
Not necessarily, except that it's sort of a then and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way it was, the way it is.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think that's probably, you know, it was, cultures don't like political stuff. But that's not true, though, because I went to a show in Columbus that they were doing on feminism,
mm-hmm.
and it was spectacular.
It was all about feminism.
No, not about feminism and quilting, uh-huh. about feminism, period, uh-huh. about being a woman in this society, and, you know, a lot of it was protest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was wonderful.
Yeah,
I've seen some different things.
Yeah, there was one we talked about in a class. I think it's Death to Sunbonnet Sue.
Uh-huh.
And it was this quilting group, and they were getting so tired of the Sunbonnet Sue symbol. And so then they decided, oh, we're going to do these panels that it's like these different ways of Sunbonnet Sue like dying. So it was pretty subversive, and I think there's a little feminist message in it too. And then there was another one where Sunbonnet Sue was kind of liberated, and she was like like sunbathing at the pool or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. They have shows like that. They've had them speak out on different issues that are contemporary issues now. I went to the National African American Quilt Conference. It's the first one ever this past summer, and it was out in Lawrence, Kansas. And they did a whole display of historical quilts, and a lot of them were protest quilts. Oh, yeah. And they were, I mean, there were some gorgeous pieces of work there. And there was one woman who had made like capes, and but she had mounted them on the wall, and each one was in recognition of a female freedom fighter.
Wow.
And beautiful work. That's just nice. Beautiful work.
I think I was in DC for the first Obama inauguration, and I went to, I guess it was all these quilters making Obama quilts. Mm-hmm. It was so, there was some from Ghana. It was really, really cool. Yeah. I wonder, maybe they're back with their original owners. I'm not sure if that was an exhibit that's...
I traveled, and there was a book published, Carolyn Maslumi, who is a very noted African-American quilter. She has published several books. She did a book on the Obama quilts.
Okay.
They've done one, I think there's one recently on Trayvon Martin,
wow.
Yeah. And but she's done some other quilts too. She's done sacred symbols and, you know, things like that. So yeah, I have a couple of her books there.
Yeah, so what you said that there were things that you wanted to say in quilts that you didn't, felt like you couldn't with the traditional. So what are some of those?
Well, like this,
right.
Like the flag quilt. I don't know. I love doing the portraits because I think in doing the portraits, you're able to capture a certain quality of a person that you wouldn't capture, mm-hmm. you know, just in normal, maybe painters do it or other
right.
people in arts. But, I mean, it's really... a good feeling or you know, it's like an epiphany when you're doing a portrait of a person with a quilt. And I love landscapes and mm-hmm. gorgeous trees mm-hmm. and stuff and the way the land looks now, this right now. It is so pretty out there that I would love to just jump in there and do 10 quilts on that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The tree quilt, I'll show you that one. I love a tree. I was in South Carolina, and we saw this tree called the angel tree, and it's a live oak, but the limbs go down and come back up off the ground like that. And it's a huge, huge tree, and I found out that it looks like angel wings, you know. I thought, oh, wow, that's why they call it. But no, it was on this land that belonged to this guy, and his name was John Angel.
Oh.
So it was his tree. It was, you know, like the tree, his tree. But live oaks have that quality sometimes of some of them that grow so old. I mean, this was an old, old tree. Yeah, so I love doing that, and I did the challenge. We had a challenge this last year, and that's the thing quilters often do. They'll challenge each other to do certain things, and we had to choose a holiday that was not a common holiday and then make a quilt to represent it. And it was so funny because I love a tree, and I love trees. It was a no-brainer for me. So this year we were going to do it again, and this girl said, well, I don't think you ought to be able to do the tree. I said, well, I wouldn't. I'll choose something else. And so I forget now what I got. But anyway, she said, well, I'll trade with you. She had National Popcorn Day, and I thought, popcorn? What are you going to do with popcorn? I'm not real interested in doing a popcorn quilt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I traded with her because it was fun. I guess. I don't know. if I decide to take up the challenge.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
What do you do when you're making quilts? Do you listen to music? Do you listen to books on tape?
I listen to books on tape. And what I have found is that if I'm listening to the book on tape, I move along faster because I'm not focused on what I'm doing and trying to be a perfectionist and get everything just right and get the points perfect and all that stuff, and that I get caught up in the story. So I found that's really helpful. Or I'll listen to music, but I'll listen to music that I don't usually listen to. I might listen to easy listening or, you know, soft classical music or something like that. Something that just kind of takes your mind away from what you're specifically doing. I find it's very helpful. And books on tape have been wonderful because I belong to two book groups.
Oh, yeah.
And so reading, I can get the books and listen to them while I'm sewing. I can still sew. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find that any of that inspires your quilt making, what you're listening to?
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listening to Jimi Hendrix inspired that quilt. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, or was there another quilt that I can really literally say was inspired by? No, not normally.
And so when you're meeting with your group, are you talking about quilt making techniques? Are you just talking about your lives? What goes on?
Both. I mean, I think it's, like you say, it's an art where you incorporate yourself into what you're doing all the time, and how whatever's happening in your life is influencing what you're doing, you know, a lot too. So, yeah, we talk about techniques. We have, I've taught different techniques myself. I taught paper piecing. I taught how to do the portraits, you know, things like that. And we've had different people come in that teach things. We're always busy. Yeah.
Aside from the quilters that you've mentioned, are there any other quilters or artists that you admire or look to for inspiration?
Ooh, loads and loads of quilters. I mentioned two or three, but oh gosh, there are so many really wonderful artists out there in the quilting field. I belong to a group called SAQUA, which is Studio Art Quilt Associates, and they have a conference every other year. And some of the top names in quilting belong to that group, and it's amazing to go to one of their it's not really a conference. Well, yeah. To go to their conferences, because their conferences are not like going to Paducah to the annual quilt shows there, where they have shows, they have vendors, they have some classes. The SAQUA group is much more professional. They're professional artists, they're studio artists working with this. One person that I really like that belongs to that group is Lenny Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R. She does portraits, and she does a lot of other things, scenes, you know, with people, but hers usually have people in them and things like this. So I like her work. She spoke at the last SAQUA conference that I attended. I didn't attend this year. I attended the year before last in Philadelphia, and it was fabulous. And I belong to the West Virginia Quilters, and they have an exhibit every year in June, and they have a jury, an artist come in to jury the work, and so you're selected. And that's with the West Virginia Cultural Center, too. They jury your work into that. I mean, she says there are 200 or 300 people submit work. So when I was first selected to put a piece in that, I was so happy I could have danced. I was beside myself, and nobody went up there to see it. I mean, well, that's not true, because I kept saying, you gotta go up and see it, it's hanging up there. Yeah.
And that was at the Cultural Center.
That was at the Cultural Center, yeah.
Where does the guild
They have theirs in Summersville at the Summersville Community Center. Not Community Center. It's like a, oh, it's like the field house. Not the field house. The, what is it? The center downtown. I can't think of it. Big Sandy.
Okay.
Big Sandy something.
Oh, like an arena.
Yeah, it's like a big arena like that. They have it there every year. It's really nice. And they do classes, and they have noted quilters come in, and the quilt guild that I belong to, that I, where I got interested in the West Virginia quilters, is Creative Quilters, which meets once a month here, and they have about, well, I think they told me they had about over 100 and some members, and they meet once a month, and they do the same thing. They bring in quilters sometimes who do trunk shows and, you know, share their work and show their work and talk to you about it. And they have challenges, you know, and things like that too. And everybody, what I love about theirs is they do show and tell every month. And so people who've done work that month and have things to show, they'll get up there and they do some beautiful work. But it's mostly traditional.
Yeah.
It's mostly traditional too.
Do you have quilts that you want to make that are on your list?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of them.
Yes. Yes. I started a quilt a few years ago, and I went to Africa. I've been to Africa twice. And while I was there, I bought lots of fabric. And I have all this gorgeous African fabric. And I did make a bunch of purses with some of it. But I still have lots of it, and I want to make, I started a quilt called African Memories, using the fabric, and it's sitting there waiting to be finished. So I'd like to get back to that and finish it. I don't know. I want to do, I've done a portrait of my youngest son, and I have an older son and a daughter. And they want to know, well, when are you going to do one for us? And so I'd like to get those done. I don't know. They're just a lot of, lots of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you work at home? Do you have a quilt
room? Yes, but you can't see that.
<That's fine.
laughs> It's a mess.
It's totally fine. I wouldn't expect it any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have the basement. I moved. When I first started, I started upstairs in the front bedroom, but there's no room up there. I mean, it was immediate that I realized this is never going to work. Number one, you have to crawl around on the floor, and I could. It was hard. Yeah.
Well, is there anything you would like to add about your work?
I think I've said everything. What else can I tell you? I think I've said it all.
We could look at some quilts.
Okay, I've got some. I'll pull
okay,
some
great.
Up.
Okay.
They're in the other room.
Okay. Should I follow you or
yeah.
stay here? Okay.
Sure. Because I'll lay them out here. Some of the ones we talked about.
Oh, and I should. Well, I'll have the recorder on first, and then I'll take some photos if I'm in.
Okay.
That's all right.
My son. That's
oh,
the one
cool.
I did on that was the online course. And this is my nephew, and he is a dancer on a ship.
Uh-huh.
And they do all those things. And he had this picture, and I fell in love with it.
That's
he was
really
a sort of a clown or something.
I like the green
show. And here's one of my landscapes. That's Ritter Park.
Oh, wow.
It's a place
that's
right
gorgeous.
Out there. It's a beautiful, one of those beautiful spots. Here's my tree. This is the live oak that I was talking about.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And this one, I entered a show in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia. It's called Sacred Threads.
Uh-huh.
And I entered that, and that was chosen as one of the quilts to travel, and it traveled all the way out west and back.
I love it.
And they showed it. I mean, I got a letter from a woman in Seattle about it, and I can't remember some other places. Oh, Denver. It was in Denver. And so it was there for a while.
Very cool.
And then this one, my daughter's an artist. She draws. And she had drawn this. And I said, oh, let me have that. Let me take that. I'd like to try that. And so I did.
It's amazing. Was it a silhouette?
The drawing was a silhouette. Yeah, it was a silhouette drawing. And I said, I'm going to try and see if I can't, you know, do that. Yeah. So this summer when I went to Kansas, I took a little workshop there with Lola Jenkins, who's a wonderful quilter. And she does that kind of silhouette work. And we did one of Mandela. Nice. And then she uses a teacher there. And then when we first started, show you one other quote. That was one. Now, this was experimental. Uh-huh. I experiment a lot, and I was trying to learn how to do a collage or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, you get 15 fabrics, and you, all that stuff, you know. But then I have, let me see. You can see this one right here. That's my Bargello. We did that one year.
Oh, wow.
As our group.
That's really cool.
Did that, and everybody made a Bargello.
And what is a Bargello?
Bargello is that kind of, gosh, you know how to explain it. That kind of crazy, you know, it's like it's a certain technique you use to get the shading of the colors and okay. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the way you do it, the sizes of the pieces and the colors all go together to form abstract kinds mm-hmm. of images. I know there's another definition of Bargello, but I have no idea what the real idea is.
Nice. I like the bright colors you're using there.
So those are some. And I do stuff like this for craft shows and stuff where you make,
oh yeah,
you know, like little table runners. Nice. And that's the craftsy part of it. Oh, and Christmas cards. You have to see my Christmas cards. Let me go get one or two. Yeah, I make Christmas cards every year.
Oh, nice.
My church has a huge Christmas bazaar.
Okay.
Sale.
Uh-huh.
These are all fabric cards.
Cool.
I need Santa.
Those are great.
Yeah.
I really like the angels.
Yeah. You know, they don't hardly make angel fabric anymore.
Really?
I had some of the most gorgeous angels a few years ago. And now I can't find any fabric with pretty angels. I mean, you know, I've seen some little ones.
Yeah.
And these were, loose off of fabric. But anyway.
Nice.
Christmas. And I do altar cloths for church.
Okay.
I've done 4 or 5 altar cloths for a church.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's it.
That's it. Well, yeah, why don't I take some pictures?
You can.
Can I
see,
keep
how
this?
Can I do this? Sure. How can I do this? Where's the best?